And welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world when my husband, Mick, deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week we're going to be opening up the show to whatever it is that you want to ask Spirit Gregory about, basically. Now, it's not about a reading, it's not about anything to do with a personal question in that way, but unless it is something to do with maybe some personal development, spiritual development that you're going through that you would like some help with. So, basically, anything that you want to know about the spirit world that you think Gregory might know about, or anything to do with our world or outer world situations. So basically, anything that you would like to speak to him about, apart from, as long as it's not, a reading, a personal reading type of question. So this should be absolutely hilarious, really.
I'm glad you think so.
It should.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful, fabulous BBSRadio.com. Every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on ArtistFirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you want to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, please do go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also spiritsworkradio.com. And what we are able to do is, as spirit mediums, we offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show. And I'm not going to know about anything else that happens, because my spirit and my consciousness transported to somewhere else completely different. Please do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got time to go through too much information at the beginning of each show, because it would take up, well, way too much valuable time. So I'm going to say goodbye for this week and go to sleep. It should only take a few seconds or so before Gregory is here, and Sylvie will be looking after you anyway, as she supplies the energy for the whole show, and yes, well, anyway, so you have a great show, and I'm going to go to sleep now. Goodbye.
Yes, I say it's going to be hilarious, because we did this show before, and some of the interesting and diverse questions that came in were just such fun, and it was really great. So we thought we would do this periodically, so that it gives us an idea of what it is that you want to know. But what we are able to do as spirit mediums is offer you the world's spirit world's perspective. And Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. And now he comes to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. And the information we bring it to you is without religious bias or political persuasion. And we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. So I'd just like to say that we will be having an Akashic reading, a free mini Akashic reading show on next Monday. That is the 13th. And we still have a space left on that if somebody would like to get in touch with me. We will need your date of birth and your name at birth. So that is your full name that would be on your birth certificate, okay? So that would be any middle names as well. So we need your date of birth and your full name at birth. And then you can email that to me at enq@spirit-teaching.com. And then I will get back to you. So basically, it's a mini 10-minute reading. And that will be about your book of life. We all have a book of life. We are eternal beings. And Gregory will tell you who your doorkeeper is and what soul group you're from and all good things like that. So it's something that is quite different. We do actually provide this service in a full reading. We do all sorts of different lengths of time of reading. So if you would like to get to look on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, you can find out all about that if you click onto the Akashic reading page. Okay, and we do offer quite a few other services as well. So do take a browse through our website. It is really quite a large and extensive and informative website, which is what we're all about, really. We're all about education and information from the spirit world. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us and has been with us for a while. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light, dear friend. I thank you so very much for inviting us at this time to be to partake of this program for you.
Okay, and I'd just like to tell everybody that if you would like to phone in and ask Gregory a question, as I said, the subject is open. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. So, Gregory, tonight we were you suggested that we did this subject tonight, but you were actually talking about some of the things that we get asked a lot about that we thought we could cover in the meantime in between people phoning up. So what were the sort of things that you were thinking of in particular?
Well, my dear friend, we have observed greatly that many people come into various states of distress over this or that form of contact, perhaps not knowing fully what form of contact it is that they actually have acquired. To put it bluntly, friend, some people may assume that the beings that they are in contact with, perhaps from the ether world, are all going to be justifiably that they are attracting the highest and best, that they are bringing peaceful and immensely loving beings. And in fact, of course, with spirit interaction, I have to say that much of it is to do with intensity of love and an overwhelming feeling of love as the being comes very close to a person in physical life, be it whether they are an established medium or someone who is actually really, I suppose, investigating a dream, investigating as to whether they have any spirit gifts at all. And, of course, we do a great deal of work with people who have yet to discover what spiritual gifts they may have. Of course, we also have to cite here as well that every single physical living being has a spirit gift of some form. Everyone, every single physical life has a form of spirit gift that they can give to someone else. I also have to say as well that certain animals also have very deep spiritual gifts. Perhaps many might cite that this is to do with intuition or something like that, something perhaps to do with their natural course of life. Perhaps it may be that you may think that your pet animal has a gift of very, most definitely, a form of intuition or perhaps even telepathy. But of course, many animals do have telepathic nuances coming about within their own figure of life. They will know, for example, when there are going to be earthquakes. They will, even birds will know when there are going to be earthquakes because they fall silent. They will also, of course, perhaps often go somewhere else. Swans will also be able to have this connection, as, of course, also will whales and dolphins and that kind of creature too. Elephants as well, of course, have very great connections with the form of vibration of the planetary surface, but so too do human beings. And it is not to say that these are just part of the basic instinct of human physical life. More so, I would have to say that many people who are walking through the situation of involving themselves in the matters of the spirit world, that is, perhaps they have an interest in perhaps some form of spiritual gift that they may have, or perhaps they're just pursuing what they may will of their life, and perhaps they wish to be of service in some way to someone else, or they're just really investigating what the rest of the whole rapture of life may have to offer them. And I have to say, my dear friends, that really, for much of this, it is to do with having an open mind. An open mind is essential to anything of life. Many people, unfortunately, when they are walking along their path of life, that they actually come to a certain stage of life whereby they are used to doing things in a certain way. Oh no, well, I always do things in this way, or I always go to the shops at this time of the day, or eat my food at this time of the day, whatever it is. And people tend to become very much caught up in systems of cycles, cyclical events in their lives. This, then, is something which actually may have a difficulty for them, perhaps in the situation of then being able to break out in their minds, being able to accept different things that they had not ever encountered before. Such is the way, my friends, that many physical people feel about the etheric world in general. Oh, no, that cannot possibly be something which is equitable with human life. After all, take, for example, the whole situation surrounding physical mediumship. Oh, yes, that was something that they did 100 years ago. We don't do that now. We don't bother with that now. That was a lower form of mediumship. That, apparently, is the actual way that many human beings see that today. And that is a very great pity, a great sadness comes over many in the spirit world just because of the blinkered attitude that so many people have, even at the state of the spirit world, and the very great and wonderful and beautiful evidence that can be brought through physical mediumship to actually be able to allow someone to physically touch once again a loved one, perhaps from the spirit world, to have that kind of interaction. Do you not agree?
Oh, absolutely.
That is something which is just cherished and so beautiful. I cannot for the life of me, and I have a very long life, I cannot for the life of me think as to why some human beings would want to denigrate that as being a lower form of mediumship. In fact, it is the very pinnacle of mediumship that any physical human being can possibly obtain or can possibly develop. And it really just goes to show how the shift of mentality has moved away from the real forms of mediumship into those forms which are, in fact, not lesser, different, yes, but actually border more toward the situations of esoteric adventurism rather than actual real communication and real establishment of factual analysis and factual proof, of evidential proof of the continued existence of life in the spirit world. So we observe, of course, that very many people are more so, I should say, centered and controlled around, figuratively speaking, these higher ascended forms of life, which actually you could, I suppose, in respect of these, you could say, well, yes, of course, everyone wants to aspire to these greater energy forms and these greater conditions. But I have to say also that really it is a situation of that much of it is to do with the esoteric mind and whether the consciousness actually can accept that you may have systems of energy outside of the physical reality, which actually do not even really rationally want to be identified as some being of a real physical state.
I think you might have to explain that.
Well, so I am saying that many people whom, many characters, shall we say, whom Earth people have an intrinsic link with, that have a real time link with, as far as they are concerned in their consciousness, may not even have had a physical life, certainly not on physical Earth. So therefore, anything that is brought through in information is quite nebulous and cannot be proven one way or another, cannot actually be ratified in the state of a proof of the living tissue existence. And so what I'm saying really, in a sense, in that regard, I would have to say that physical mediumship actually takes most certainly a great deal of the evidence and a great deal of the truth of the existence of spirit to the totality of degree, really.
Mm-hmm.
How can you possibly prove that a being who is, so say, from some different dimension actually exists at all? You cannot. It is not a possibility. You may give all different kinds of energy, of their language structure, or the beautiful words that they say. Yes, I do not doubt that. I doubt it not at all. But to say that that is a greater energy than someone actually physically being able to come through, break through from the ether world into the physical reality, is something of a disarrangement, really, of the properties of the spirit world.
Right, okay. Well, I think we need to go in a little more detail about physical mediumship, because obviously not everybody's going to... I know we've talked about it before, but not everybody listening tonight is going to know about what physical mediumship is all about. So, but I'd like to say thank you for anybody who is listening, and you're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by deep trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and at the moment we're having a show that is really an open mic for anybody who wants to join us. Just if you want to phone in and ask Spirit Gregory a question about whatever it is you like, as long as it's not a personal reading type of question, maybe you've got some spiritual development problems or something like that. Or just if you're interested in what we're talking about, do give us a ring. The number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 888-810-8322.
Now, of course, I did not really want to go off in the deep end here. And I respect the fact that many people will not perhaps know of anything of physical mediumship. So, therefore, I was really just using this as a tour of the situation that many people find themselves in. Now, vis-a-vis, if you have a person who perhaps does not realize anything to do with their own structure of mediumship, what form of mediumship could they possibly have? Well, to begin with, of course, every physical being who lives on the planet of Earth, who is of human form, has the ability to heal someone else. And that is something which occurs with every single human being. That doesn't mean to say that, of course, that you cannot have a rare and beautifully gifted healer. However, the rare and beautifully gifted healer does not necessarily mean to say that that person is physically beautiful either. It may well be that the person you are talking of or thinking of, or that perhaps you are that person themselves. It may not be that you have actually had an actual hand in doing this, in developing this gift, that perhaps you were born with it. Well, everyone is, my point is that everyone is born with the gift of healing for someone else, towards someone else. So you can all do it. You can all bring about these loving energies. You can all make contact with these loving energies. It is so important that you recognize this as a fact of your human physical life. It's a part of your beautifully blessed spirit and part of your spirit journey having a human physical existence. Because that means, dear friends, that you can all help one another. Every single being can actually step outside of your consciousness. You can actually connect with those loved ones in the spirit world, or perhaps it is to do with spirit guides and helpers, and that you can connect with those and heal, bring healing to someone else, either with your hands upon them or with your hands just in their auric field, or perhaps not with your hands anywhere near them at all. Perhaps you are thinking of those people, that someone, a loved one perhaps, that you wish to send healing to, who has become ill over some situation or other affecting their physical life or their mental life, something like that. You are able to send healing to them just by sending it as a prayer. Now, everyone can do that. You can come up to a person and listen to them. You can give them healing through words. You can give them healing just by listening to them. You can help so many people. You can heal the world. You really can. It's only because human beings feel that they are isolated and that they feel then that they cannot do anything or that they are powerless. The whole reason why you may feel at odds with your life experience, why you cannot perhaps be in contact with those healing guides or those healing energies which are flowing through you, or perhaps maybe you do not even realize where these healing energies may come from, either without you or from within a self. How would you know? My point here, really, my friends, is that so many people are steeped in their own self-doubt. Doubt is not a wobbly truth. Doubt is the wobbly you that actually refuses to acknowledge the truth. Doubt is something that is given by someone else toward you to make you feel less of yourself, so that you do not aspire in the greatest tradition of positive vibration, in the greatest tradition that is your beautiful spirit, your pure spirit. How else would you wish to give to someone else if it is not through healing, if it is not through doing something else for someone? What would you prefer to do? Do something for yourself, perhaps, if you're motivated by your own self-interest, then perhaps that is your avenue of truth. We will have to visit that later.
Okay. But can we go back to what we were talking about before?
Of course.
When we were talking about physical mediumship.
Yes.
Well, because we did touch on it, but I don't think people will understand what it is that we were talking about.
Very well.
There's not many people know about it, really.
Very well. Physical mediumship is when someone in the physical reality is able to help and aid through their own energy, their own love within a self, something which is absolutely beautiful and divine, is able, with the aid of spirit workers and helpers from our side of life, to facilitate actual physical presence. So we are not talking about the physical presence of an energy, an unseen energy, but we are talking about the physical presence of cells to do with a person's previous physical existence, and the materialization of those physical cells so that they are able to reform themselves. And it's something that you could see. And that you can see it perhaps in red light, or perhaps it is an interaction which takes place in darkness, but is actually in the voice, in the very voice that that human being, that loved one who had passed, is able to facilitate because of the gift of the physical mediumship that helps that to take place.
So, and you were saying that, and we have heard this, that because this used to be a thing of the past, people used to do this all the time. It actually reminds me of, because when people probably had more time in those days, in the olden days, to develop something like this, it makes me think of the elders of Native Americans sitting around the campfire in trance, speaking with their ancestors, speaking through them in trance.
Yes, and of course they used to actually physically materialize as well. Particularly, I have to say, in the sweat lodges and that kind of thing. As that was a time when their ancestors, through their love for them, would actually be able to come through. And that had been something which had been going on for centuries. Not just Native Americans, I have to say, but many different forms of Inuit, Aboriginal peoples from all over the planet were able to do this.
That's amazing, isn't it, when you think of all of the great troubles that we go to nowadays to try and perfect the art of physical mediumship with the right environment and that sort of thing, temperature and the light and everything, that they used to just happen. But it did in the olden days here too, didn't it, periodically?
Oh, yes,
it used to happen.
Yes, absolutely so. That is quite true. In fact, for many people, it was, in fact, that even in broad daylight, and you must understand that that was a particular form of physical mediumship, which actually meant that the ectoplasm, that is, which is coming from the physical body, which allows materialization to take place, or allows perhaps a voice box, I will explain that in a moment, to take place as well, so that the person can speak to you with their own voice. This is something which actually, as you say, wasn't easy then, but it was, I suppose, because of the fact that there were less situations to do with radio waves, to do with the electronic situation of your age now, which, as it is presented, is something which makes it much more difficult. And also, of course, for it to be presented in physical life, and also, of course, because of the fact that the situation has changed, the atmospherics have changed upon your planet, it actually means to say that things are vastly different from how they were, shall we say, 100 years ago or 150 years ago. And so the situation that you are faced with are that the properties needed to prepare for such a thing does not necessarily mean to say that it is all dealt with in exactly the same way. We have to deal with other different forms of parameters. So it may be that the ectoplasm is coated in chlorophyll or something like that, you see. So it has a slightly green tint to it, or even a yellow tint to it. And this is something which is a factual representation in order to protect it from the sunlight or from daylight. It may be, of course, that is not the case at all, and that actually the mediumship does not necessarily have to be over a long period of time in development. It may be that it comes about quite quickly, in just 1 or 2 years, for example, as we have known and understood even now in this modern day, that is something also which is happening on your side of life. So it's not something which is dead and buried and left to the Victorians to do in their parlor games and that kind of thing. It was never a parlor game, friends. It was actually a very truthful and very insightful way of factual recognition of loved ones who had passed to the spirit world and who returned through their love for their ancestors now still living in physical life to actually give them some proof of their continuance in the spirit world.
If anybody would like to phone up, and it's a toll-free number, if you'd like to speak to Gregory about anything you would like to know about, maybe it's to do with your spirit development, then do give us a ring. It's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And, of course, you can marry the two, can't you? Physical mediumship and healing has been combined quite a lot. I mean, and Harry Edwards, for one, was somebody, wasn't he, that used physical mediumship in his healings?
Oh, yes, absolutely so. Absolutely so, friend. The point is that the spirit guides would come when he was healing, and the subject, the client, would actually feel many different hands upon them, many different situations of very great physical intent around them at the time of their healing. And, of course, this is something which can be continued through today. I understand that there are some people who do, who bring about psychic healing in a sense, in the way of actually being able to bring about great healings of repair to a physical body, such as perhaps bending legs that were otherwise deformed in some way, much like Jesus did, I suppose you could say. But I'm not saying that these people are trying to behave like Jesus. I'm saying that this is a fact, and that actually the system of situation that Jesus had, that he dealt with, was very much to do with mediumship, really.
Okay, well, we'll carry on with that afterwards.
Yes, quite so.
Hello, caller.
Hello, good evening.
Oh, hi, is that John?
Yes, it is. Hi, Sylvie, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hello, Greg.
Yeah. Nice to be back.
Hi, Gregory. I have a question.
Yeah.
In another show, we were talking about how somebody can't be enlightened if they say that they are enlightened. Is somebody a psychic medium if they claim they're a psychic medium? Are they a psychic if they say they're a psychic? And could you please explain more about why enlightened people don't say that they're masters or don't say that they're enlightened?
Yes, quite so. So when is a person going to be a medium if they don't say that they're a medium? How are you going to know that they're a medium? Well, quite so. I have to say, friend, that it is all about the state of being. So if you have a person who wishes to heal, I understand that in the modern age you have to advertise yourself, your services, and that kind of thing. I fully expect that. But the point is to do with the point of ego. So if you have a person who is a healer, then do they say that I am a healer of the spirit world? Or do they say I am a healer and have great power, and that I have very great powerful energies that come through me, or that use me, or that I am responsible for? Well, the point is that to this situation, we'll take each situation as it comes, to this situation, it will be that the spirit world is a very powerful place. And the energies which come through from the spirit world are unique and extremely beautiful and extremely giving and loving, and also, of course, very most definitely have very specific healing qualities, depending not upon the healer themselves, but actually on the team that represents that healer in the spirit world. So much of it will be to do with the fact of who it is, or the faculty that they have been enabled to produce for that healer to instrument their healing techniques. So, my dear friend, you may have a person who is of a beautiful mind, and perhaps it is that they've never healed a soul in their life, but perhaps just come upon someone someday who needs some help, and all they do is just come near them, perhaps place their hands upon them, perhaps not. Perhaps they just say a prayer over them, and suddenly and beautifully, the healing energy from the spirit world just connects with them. So that person isn't broadcasting their healing ability. What they are doing, however, is connecting with the being state, with the state of now. They are connecting with, opening perhaps with a prayer to the spirit world, asking them to help this poor human being that they have in front of them. That is a blessed pathway. Now, if you have someone then who says that they are enlightened, how can you say that you are in an enlightened state? You could say perhaps that you are feeling in a state of bliss. Perhaps you could say that you have a great deal of love to give to other people. But even saying that you have a great deal of love to give to other people doesn't necessarily mean to say that other people will feel the love coming from you, does it? Because this is a transient situation which happens in the physical reality. Your words may not match your deeds. So quite simply, by invocating it and saying you can do this doesn't necessarily mean to say that you are doing it or that you are bringing up the situation. This is all the point of contact and development. Of course it is. But if someone truly believes that they are enlightened, then they doubtless will usually not be enlightened at all, purely because the state of enlightenment inherently means that you are in a state of now being. So you will not be aware of whether you are enlightened or not. You will not be aware of whether you wish to perceive that you are not enlightened. I hope you understand this. It's not a mount of semantics with words. It is actually about the state of being and what you truly understand the pure state of being to be. If you are in a pure state of being, you will not say anything. There will be no point. Why would you want to utter a state of being that you feel you are in and spoil it? Because by uttering it, you are using your ego. By saying, I am enlightened, or by saying, I am an ascended being, is purely saying that you're not. By the very definition of the fact that you stated it, means that you're not.
But you could say, I'll jump in with John here.
Oh, please do.
You know, if you're a healer, then and you want to do this for other people, to heal people,
yes.
Okay, and maybe you want some financial, you know, gain out of it as well, obviously for your time, because everybody has to live.
Of
then
course.
That isn't... You're not, that's not to do with ascensionism, is it?
No.
I mean,
it is not at all. No, everyone has a right to live. A plumber has to be paid for the plumbing work that they do.
Mm.
A healer, perhaps so too.
Mm.
Just because it's a gift of spirit, and perhaps you have developed this with the spirit world, in conjunction with the spirit world, over many years of time, in order to align yourself truthfully to the spirit world so that you can become a clear channel for those energies from the spirit world to go to the client, to the recipient. That is something which takes effort. Effort on your part to transcend yourself from the being that you had been because of all of the situations surrounding your physical life to the being that you can be in order to be a clear channel for those loving, healing energies. How else are you going to attain it unless you put effort in, unless you develop your skills of being clear and uncluttered, of not using your mind in this? So when I say that, and I know that I suppose I could say that I have muddied the water slightly by using both healing and the ascensionism perspective. However, both are dually applied, quite simply because they are coming from exactly the same perspective. That is, if you are a being, shall we say, who is simple in mind, if you are a being who is simple in mind and knows little of the world outside of yourself, and yet has one pure thought, one pure goal in your life, is to give love of the purest form you can bring from the well within yourself. If all your thought is to give love to someone else of that purest form, without any thought of what you are doing, but just with the desire to be of service to someone else, then truly, my dear friends, that vibration of love that you give is going to be of the purest energy, because you are not putting in your own thoughts about what you are doing. Similarly, I have to say, for those beings who say, oh, I am going to become ascended now, or that I am going on an ascended course so that I could become an ascended master, what truffle of life is this? What goal is it that you seek if you have to declare to yourself that you are actually going to be educated to become ascended? That is not the pathway to becoming enlightened. To become enlightened is to be at one with the universal consciousness, not to learn about how to become ascended over someone else.
John?
You know, I hope I'm not making a wrong generalization, but I think this is an interesting question. In a way, are you suggesting that words cannot express the truth? Because that's what it sounds like. When somebody uses these words, all of a sudden they've betrayed a truth.
Yes, I am exactly saying that very thing, friend. You will come upon, perhaps, the most purest of beings, and they will be completely silent. It isn't to say, for me, where a person's mind will be, except to say that with the use of words and language, it's generally, I know that I'm using them now to describe a position, but what I'm saying to you is, with the use of words and language, if you are trying to describe what you feel, what you truly feel inside, is a virtually impossible task. And I know there is no impossibility in the spirit world, but when you are trying to address it in physical reality, you struggle with words. And in fact, the very fact that you struggle with words in order to put it into language, what you truthfully express in energy and insight, how can you possibly put the universe into words? When you are blending with that blessed energy, words will naturally fail you. It is only after the event that you will try to express it in words and say this or that, and as you do so, you will find that words berate. Words feel so little, so small, so insignificant among the truth of what enlightenment is, on the truth of what true value of being risen in your own energy and in the energy of the universe. If you bathe yourself within the light of a tree, within the beautiful vibration that a tree has to offer you, without course of regret, without course of rancor, without even thinking, oh, that you might do it damage, it has no thought of that. It merely is in a state of being, at flux with the universe, at one with its own surrounding. And that which it occupies and gives out to the world is of free value, purely and simply, because it is a part of God. That which you have been and that which you still are, if only you could recognize it when you come to the sublime truth of states of real states of bliss. When you are in those states of bliss during meditation, you cannot utter a thing, for words are not a description. that enables you to coat it with a form of physical life. That is true enlightenment, right?
Now, can't enlightenment be like a product of nirvana, where you have this moment of enlightenment, and it's a transient thing that you're confident that you can go to again, you can come back and talk to people and go back to that state, or it doesn't work like that?
Well, it may well work in that way, friend. I happen to see and note throughout many thousands of years that many so-called gurus will cite that this is in fact a part of their enlightenment trait, and that, yes, they've gone there, been there, done that, and come back to live to tell the tale. The point is, however, unfortunately, that by their proclamation of their guru status to their avid followers and admirers, they have already lost the plot. They have already unseated their state of bliss. They have diminished it, have fallen from it, purely because they have uttered physical words to try to intone it, rather than just live and be that vibration. That would be the true meaning of enlightenment for someone else. Someone who does not glory in who they are, but glories in what they can do for someone else. Doesn't relish being in the art of telling someone what they are doing, but is just giving and of service to that energy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, John.
Well, thank you, my friend, John.
Thanks, John.
It is wonderful to, as well, that you give such questions. Thank you so.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless,
friend.
Yes, there's still time if anybody else wants to phone up. It's 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. And Canada is 888-810-8322. Yes, that was very interesting because, I mean, you know, the thing about the going on a course, the Ascensionism courses, the Ascended Masters courses, or whatever, we do come across that quite often, don't we?
Yes.
And it is difficult because presumably part of the criteria curriculum for these courses will be how to shed the burdens of the ego and that sort of thing,
of
the material. Personality, possessions,
yes.
everything to do with that. So,
and I do understand that,
yes,
as being a genuine desire.
Absolutely.
And a need, perhaps, for some people to fulfill.
Mm. Yes. But it's a weird concept, but I think something, maybe it should be called something else.
Steps to, perhaps.
Or steps to shedding your ego or something like that.
Well, yes.
You know,
but then, of course, you wouldn't have anybody applying for it because they would all say, oh, no, I don't have an ego.
Well, but don't you agree that we have to have some ego to actually survive in this world?
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Physical human beings must have a form of ego, but it isn't the same I am. An ego to survive is really just to try to ensure that you can put food in your mouth.
Absolutely.
And that is a different form of ego. That is really just to do with the mundane instincts of physical human life. That is not to do with the great I am.
Because, you know, you can't go on the streets and start doing healing miracles on people, you'd get arrested. You wouldn't get idolized.
No, quite so. And in exactly the same way, of course, you have many thousands of Buddhist monks who are around in the world who actually beg everyone else for the food that they eat, that they put on the table.
Hmm.
They don't do any work themselves, but administer, so say, spiritual truths as being their penance of work for the enlightenment that they shed to others or the wisdom that they shed to others.
Mm.
I happen to think myself that it would be far better if they did an honest day's work.
But isn't that how the churches function?
Absolutely so. I'm not singling out Buddhist monks, friend.
No.
I happen to think that is exactly
religion
the same as
works.
Well.
Yes.
All religious beings who, who have this coat of air of I am better than you should really actually work and deal with not just administering to these poor peasants, but actually to do something which is very constructive.
Yes, I mean, you know, the donations and the gifts to the church, the money and all that sort of thing, whatever church, is the only thing that keeps them going, really, and keeps them very rich. And that's fine. I'm not knocking it at all. I'm just saying, though, it's we only see the irony in certain things, and yet there's such a close connection in the way all these things happen, but we don't see it. Do you know what I mean? We don't see what we're doing in certain instances.
Yes, absolutely so. And so people struggle still with churches, with the situation with churches, still giving them large amounts, large donations of money. Why? Quite simply, harking back to the 18th and 17th and 16th centuries when people gave large amounts of money to be closer to God.
Hmm.
And that really is the end of it. It isn't to do with whether a place needs to be structurally more vast, so to accommodate a larger congregation. Just the very thought of spending such large, vast amounts of money on a building when you could, in fact, do exactly the same thing in an open piece of ground and have exactly the same form of stature and understanding that you give to those people around you, and rather donate that money to other people who are poor.
Mm-hmm.
After all, you would have to say that many of the world's poorest people live in the richest spiritual nations, particularly, of course, to do with Catholicism and that kind of thing. And you have all of this infrastructure which continues to vividly make certain people at the top of their spiritual growth, when in actual fact they're just the same, if not lesser mortals, really, than the poorest peasant who cannot read or write, but who can think themselves the purest of love to someone else in need. And that is the mark of a true savior, in a sense, on your side of life. Someone who is really enlightened, someone who is really truthfully not spouting words, not saying or waiting for someone else to acknowledge them, but to actually just be that life.
Being it, doing it.
Yes.
Yes, well, okay. Well, that's been wonderful. I guess, we've been away for quite a few weeks, so we look forward to maybe talking about our travels as well in
yes.
the coming few weeks.
Yes, quite.
And sharing that with people.
Yes, absolutely so.
Okay. So, well, thank you very much, Gregory.
With love and light, then, dear friend. Be at peace upon your journey. God bless.
God bless. And I'd just like to say once again that we do have a space left next Monday on our Monday night show for an Akashic reading, a mini free Akashic reading, a mini 10-minute reading. If you would like to send us your date of birth and your name that is on your birth certificate, okay, so that's your birth given name, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I will get back to you about that, okay? And if you'd like a full Akashic reading, do go to our website. It's www.spirit-teaching.com, and you'll find out about that on our Akashic reading page. And we're so glad to be back, and thank you so much for listening, and thank you, John, for calling in. My name is Sylvie Avery, and we look forward to being with you on Thursday afternoon. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal. knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Goodbye.